Welcome to broadcast number 5 in our series on Elijah. We'll be looking in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 16. Have your Bibles ready. We'll try to make it plain and simple. Reading in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 16, it says, "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah." Now, Obadiah is that middle of the road fellow that wanted the best of both worlds. He was acting like he was a believer and at the same time serving Ahab, the most wicked king that ever lived, and Jezebel, his wicked wife. In any event, he had met with Elijah, and he went to tell Ahab where Elijah was. And so in verse 17 we read, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and has followed Baal. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken." Well, we see Elijah. We want to cover these areas if we can. He was confident. He was confrontational. He had courage. He took control. There was the crowd. There was his challenge to the people. And there was the difference between those who were on Mount Carmel and those who were hiding in a cave. Now, to be confident is to be certain about something. And Elijah had his 3-year training program in the wilderness with God. And he came out of that very confident, very certain about something. Then there was the confrontation, which is a showdown between opposing parties. There was Elijah's courage, which is somebody acting according to his belief, regardless of any danger or disapproval from anybody. And then there's control, which is directing the situation, being in charge. Then there was the crowd, which is usually a large number of people, typically without any discipline. Then there is the challenge to the people, which is basically, do you want the truth or do you not want the truth? And then there was those who were in Carmel, on Mount Carmel, and those who were in the caves. Carmel was an open opposition to untruth. In the caves, we have a bunch of people who were doctrinally correct, but they were in their comfort zone. They were in the cave. Let's not go out there where the apostates are and make a scene. Let's stay within our comfort zone. Now we have those kind of believers in the world today as well. So, where did he get his confidence? Well, God's training program, as I said, for 3 years. He had learned the path, he had learned the presence, he had learned the protection, and he had learned the power of God. That's where he got his confidence. Psalm 27:3 says, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. I will be confident." Now there's Elijah. He got everybody against him. Then in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, Paul said, we are confident. Again in Philippians 1 and 16, we are being confident. Proverbs 14, verse 26 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In Acts 28:31, Paul talked about teaching those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. 2 Thessalonians 3:4, he said, we have confidence in the Lord. Where did Elijah get his confidence? He got it in the Lord. He had seen God's path. He had witnessed God's power. He had witnessed God's presence, his protection, and his provision in his three-year wilderness training program. So now it's time for a confrontation. What is that? It is a showdown between opposing parties. A final test or confrontation intended to settle something. Let's settle this once and for all. Now Elijah's ready for this. He's been through his training program, and he is ready for a confrontation. And so here in verse 16, we read Ahab went to meet Elijah. They come and they're going to have a confrontation. We got three men who are basically focused here. One was Obadiah, who was in the middle of this thing. However, at this point, we hear no more about this middle-of-the-road compromiser. He is not going to be heard of again in the Word of God, Obadiah. It's like many today who are in the middle of the road, who will not face the issues of the day. Let's just preach the smooth things. Let's not say anything about the issues. Well, God has a lot to say about those people who are in the middle. He said, I wish you're hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth and make me sick. Well, we have Obadiah, who made God sick. He makes me sick just reading about him. Then we had Ahab and Elijah. Ahab is presenting that which is false. Elijah is presenting that which is true. So in verse 17, Ahab comes and he says to Elijah, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You're the one to blame for all of our problems. No, the truth is, Elijah said, you and your fathers are the one to blame. He's very confident. He is alone. He's confident, but he's not afraid alone to have a confrontation against everyone and everything that is evil. And that brings us to verse 18. His courage. He says to Ahab, no, thou and thy fathers, you are the ones who are responsible. Keep in mind that everybody's behind Ahab. He's got his army there, no doubt. He's got his security people who's going to take care of him. And with one word, Elijah could have been put to death. But he stands alone against everybody. He is not intimidated. He doesn't care about Ahab's armed guards. He doesn't care about the prophets, and he doesn't care about the crowd that is out there against him either. He has courage. The Bible says, be of good courage. And then we see here in verse number 19, Elijah takes control. To have control is to have the power of influence on the behavior of others. He says, gather to me all Israel. Get those prophets of Baal. Bring in those prophets of groves and meet me on Mount Carmel. He takes charge of the situation. And then in verse 20, we have a crowd. We have all Israel. We have all of those prophets. We have thousands upon thousands of people concerning the Israelites that are against one person, and that is Elijah. To be against someone is to be in opposition. It is to be antagonistic. He is definitely in the minority. It's one against thousands. Well, Noah was in the minority too until after the flood. And we see in this story that things are going to change in the same way. Verse 21, we have the challenge. What is that? A public demonstration. We're going to have some action of showing the existence of the truth about something, and we're going to do it publicly. And so we can see Elijah on that mountain, and he is preaching to that crowd, and he says in verse 21, how long halt ye between two opinions? What is an opinion? An opinion is a view formed about something that is not based on fact. Elijah's dealing with fact. They are all dealing with their opinions. How long halt ye between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, worship him. If Baal be God, then worship him. And what does it say here? Silence. They answered him not a word.
verse 22, he said, I. I am the only one. Now, God had 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal, and he had another 100 prophets cowering in a cave somewhere, and that is true, but they were not there when they were needed. They had not bowed the knee to Baal. They were doctrinally correct. But as far as Elijah was concerned, when he looked around on the top of that mountain, he said, I'm the only one. That is the way it is here today. But one with God is a majority. So in verse 23 and 24 and on down through this chapter, he begins to give instructions. And he says, now, build everything this way. Let's get the altar this way. He gives all detailed instructions. And then he said, the God that sends fire from heaven, let him be God. Now the people answered, this is great. Let's do it that way. Why did they do that? Well, the devil has power. You remember when Moses went before Pharaoh and all those things that they did, the magicians did it as well. Finally, Moses threw down his rod and it became a snake, and the magicians threw down their rod and it became a snake. The only difference was Moses' rod ate up all the other snakes. And so we see the power that the devil has. He also, in this Baal worship, had the power to send fire. But we know that he could only have as much power as God would allow him to have. In any event, they were used to sacrifices to Baal. They were used to fire coming down, and they're saying, yeah, all right, let's show Ahab here. Verse 24 says, all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Well, I want to spend a minute talking about the difference between those who are in the caves and those who are on Mount Carmel. We see these false prophets, and if you go down through this chapter, we see them altar leaping prophets. We see them knife cutting prophets. Their blood is gushing out all over while they're trying to get their false gods to listen to them. But there's no fire. Elijah is mocking them, and this goes on, the Bible says, until the evening sacrifice. And then Elijah steps up on the scene. I like verse 30, those two simple little words that we've looked at before. And Elijah. That's how it all started in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah. Thank God for the few, very few we have around today who will stand true to the word of God. So he says, I want you to set it all up here, and then I want you to pour water all over the sacrifices and in the trenches that they had dug. Where'd they get the water? They've been in a drought for 3 years. There wasn't much water. Now, with all Israel coming together for this, there is no doubt that they would have brought water in their canteens. They would have had something to be able to take care of themselves on the way. It was too far away for this whole story to take place in one evening for them to go to any of the lakes around there, way too far away for them to get water there. So they would have had, he said, you want to see God work here, and he's got God's power behind his message. He said, get rid of all your water. We're not going to see God work till you dump all your water on here. Well, you can see these people dumping water on that sacrifice and the water in the trenches, and it didn't make much sense to them, I'm sure. Anyway, that's the way it went. And so we're going to see a great victory here as the fire comes down, licks up the water, licks up the sacrifice, and all of Israel turns back and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. So what do we have? We got a bunch of people who have got their doctrine right, and they're still hiding in the caves. They're back there in their comfort zone, and they miss the blessing of it all. They're probably even having little church services back there as they have their little meetings in their caves, but services as usual. And they miss the real blessings. And let me tell you, you are not going to see the real blessings of God until you get out of your comfort zone. Well, there it is, plain and simple. Be sure and tune in for our broadcast tomorrow.